Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And the mic's on. What's up, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturgio here for another episode of Destruction 101, episode 41, the second to last episode of 2017. What a friggin' year it has been. It has been a whirlwind. We've been happy. We've been sad. We've been down in our luck. We've been exceeding all expectations. It's been a hell of a year. It really has. And I'm kind of winding down with the old broadcast schedule for the year. 2017 has been nothing short of probably the most rewarding year of my life as far as accomplishments and just self-setting goals and just kicking ass, taking names, shit like that. It's been incredible. Coming off one of the best, if not the best, broadcasting weekend of my 11-year career in this, or 11-year chase. I don't know if you can call it a career, only for the sole purpose of me not making a living off it. I'm getting paid to do my things, but it's nothing I can just say, let's quit my day job and I can do this. That is the goal. I have established that goal for 2018. And I know I have one student, my student, my buddy, listens to his show, which I tell him every week, don't do it, because I even tell his mother, I'm like, don't let him listen to this show, because it's not so much letting him into my life, but it's also, you know, he's 11 or so, or 12, so he shouldn't be listening to the graphic content of this show. But then he says, well, I watch Family Guy, and I listen to Grimm, and I do this and that and the other. So I guess whatever he's hearing here, he's never heard before. And he promises me he'll never repeat the words he hears on this podcast. However, I do enjoy what I do. I hang out with him all day. You know, we have our days where we're just kind of, hey, listen, we're buddies. We butt heads. You know what I mean? Like, days are rough on me, and it translates down to a rough day for me and him. But the end game is near, I think, for my run as a paraprofessional in the school systems, only because I don't see myself doing it anymore. And it's not because of him, obviously, because the year is going to be over before you know it, and he's going to move, or I'm going to move on, and whatever the case may be, the salary is just, ugh, and it's very, very discouraging. I won't even release it here, because it's like, if I told you what I made to do what I do, I wouldn't be chasing as many gigs as I do, or get paid to do certain things, or try to find sponsors, or this, that, and the other, or try to find vendors for WrestlePro. You know, little things that Pat throws me a couple bucks for. You know, those are the things that are making ends meet, not my salary, trust me. I did take a $40,000 pay cut from where I was at, so you can't do the math because you don't know where I was working, but you don't know what I was making, and I took that pay cut because I wanted to right myself. I wanted to right all my wrongs and try to just get motivated and hungrier to try to do new things. And this job has been crazy rewarding. There are students that, you know, give me a pound every morning. What's up, Mr. S? You know, like, they're just cool kids, man. And it's cool to be around the kids and try to teach them a little something here and there. I tell you what, though, I'm a smart dude. Never claimed to be a smart, like, book smart guy. Never claimed to be a good test taker. Like, the SATs, forget it. I was an abomination. And that's why I went to county college and then went to broadcasting school, because I knew I wasn't going to be Mr. SAT or Mr. Go get a scholarship here or do a... I didn't even finish a four-year degree. I wish I did. I can still. I'm still relatively young. I know friends of mine are back in school. Like, Matt McIntosh is going to be a friggin' doctor. No bullshit. He is doing that, and he is succeeding. He is balancing his life, you know, enough to succeed in wrestling and to succeed in school, and he's going to have a hell of a job when he's done wrestling. When he doesn't want to wrestle anymore, he doesn't have to. And we're going to get to that tonight with a jam-packed show because I got a couple guests, not long interviews, just like I sat down with a couple guys over the weekend in Brooklyn when I had the spare time. We got done with setup, so I decided let's, you know, roll the tape. I sat down with, you'll hear tonight, Ken Dixon, one of the guys that are up and coming. He's been doing it for a little bit, and he's really catching fire right now. I think he's fantastic. I think he's fascinating. I think that he is the old school mentality that I've been looking for as far as, you know, what to look for in a professional wrestler. And he's got just that. And you'll hear that in tonight's interview. I also sat down with TJ from the Beach Bum, and Alex, Officer Alex from Job Security. So two guys that are clashing and are supposed to be feuding. I sat down with both of them at the same time. I also get a referee's perspective tonight. I sat down with referee Steven Dumang, and that's Uncle Steve to some of you guys. But he also gives me an insight of what it's like to be a referee in the world of professional wrestling, or try to make it as a referee. I mean, this guy has made his rounds. I mean, he's worked for some great companies. He's been flown to England to referee. Like, it's a big deal. So, like, some of these guys have their own stories. But when it comes to me and what I want to do and my goals, you know, it all came kind of full circle this past weekend. You know, WrestlePro has been very successful all year round. And, you know, we're coming up to the end of our two shows, which we crushed. Brooklyn, we annihilated Brooklyn. Standing room only again in Brooklyn. And it was unbelievable because in the final match, the main event in Brooklyn, as I break down a couple of the matches that went down before I get into all the interviews and stuff and your questions and comments and trying to wrap up 2017 as a whole. But Brooklyn was just, it was surreal. And the main event was going to be Danny Moff and Eli Drake. And I just met Eli Drake for the first time. And let me tell you, cool, down to earth, funny as shit guy. But his intro, and I told Moff this, I was like, Moff, not for nothing, but like when I introduce Danny Moff, you know, I get into it. I mean, I fucking put everything I have into it, like a Bruce Buffer type entrance where I'm screaming on the top of my lungs, but not so you can't understand me. You know, you can't understand what I'm saying, but emphasize certain words and certain catchphrases and hometowns and whatever the case may be. Go back and look at some of my stuff of how I introduced Danny Moff. But when Eli Drake came out, you know, it's a basic introduction. He's from Los Angeles, California, weighing in at whatever he was, 234 pounds. You know, he is the Impact Wrestling champion. But when I said Eli Drake, I paused each time. I said Eli Drake. And the entire crowd, for the first time in me doing this, was with me. And they chanted it with me. And it was just one of those surreal moments where when I was done and I looked around that crowd, they're all looking at me and they're like rooting me on almost as if I'm in the match. And I'm looking at them like, that was fucking, what a moment for me. I don't know what it was. It was just one of those things where, and I guess it kind of comes full circle when I'm doing my thing in Brooklyn, New York, after not being hired by the Brooklyn Nets and I can succeed in Brooklyn. It kind of makes me smile a little bit heavier, you know, or bigger, heavier smile. That made sense. You know, like just overall, just being happier as a person to succeed. And you know what? Like I said, I've said this on numerous previous podcasts, that the Nets thing opened the door to a lot of other things. And I think that was almost personally my goal. You know, had I not been hired, I mean, that was going to suck and it was going to burn and it was going to, you know, make me upset. But at the same time, I knew that if I just told the guy in back of me to record my fucking audition, which I can't get my audition tapes off the Nets, they want to ignore my email. So really, like, the whole let's build a relationship, like, that's what they pitched to me. Hold on while I take a sip of this protein here. It's called the Incredible Bulk from Retro Fitness. Fantastic shit. Not trying to bulk or anything like that, but I looked at it. I love peanut butter, so needed to get my fix today. What was I saying? Yeah, so just overall, just succeeding in Brooklyn made it all worthwhile, and it opened up so many doors, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity, and I'm grateful for the guy that recorded it so I can, you know, go back and you know, drop it on a throwback Thursday where people can watch it all over again and see that I have talent. And last week, this is like gonna, it's gonna sound ridiculous, but last week, this time last week, I was so angry and I was so bitter and I was so upset about the littlest of things. And all it took was just a little bit of negativity from somebody for me to just go spiraling out of control. And I really, I jeopardized a lot of things, you know, and it's something I didn't want to do. You know, I have, you know, obviously I'm a married man. I have the most wonderful wife in the history of wives. Like, she will bend over backwards for me. And I think her best quality that she has is that she tolerates me, okay? All the shit I do and pull and swing and the coming home at 3 a.m. and the terrible decisions I've made over the first 4 years of being with her, you know, she's just tolerated me. She's put up with my shit, and I've done a lot of shit. If you're listening to this and you have been involved in my shit, well, then you know that I've been just, I haven't been the number one husband. I can't get the hat. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you have the number one dad hats? Well, there is no shot in hell. I'm probably like the number 468,000,000,000 quadrillionth husband on the planet. I could be so much better, and I plan on being better. But it's just been a whirlwind in a week. And then on top of that, you know, I have close friends that I care dearly for. And I almost ruined relationships like that, and those are my bonus relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like, the relationships you didn't think you would have in your life, and these people come out of nowhere, whether it be at work or whatever. You know, like, it's just, they come out of nowhere. They support you. They root you on. They're your best friends. They tell you they love you. They support you. And I was on the cusp of ruining everything that I had going as far as with said people and just my home life and my friend's life and my career life. I felt myself going down that path where, you know, Pat Buck said it on his podcast, when he was with me on my, he was on my podcast as a guest when he did the David Adams rant, but he said, I fired Dave because Dave was a crazy man. And that was just a couple years ago. It was when I was recovering from my injury. I was a bitter piece of shit, and I was going down a really, really bad path. And who wants to be around that? You know, so I actually felt myself doing that last week. And like I said, it was the most minuscule thing that could send you down this path of destruction, have you? And you can self crush yourself. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I'll be the first to admit that your closest ones and your closest friends and family and loved ones are going to tell you when you need something. And I can't just vent on a podcast once a week. I can't just talk to a friend once a week or talk to my wife about my problems. Sometimes you have to reach out and talk to somebody else, be a professional, you know, a therapist, somebody that will, a psychiatrist, somebody will just listen to you and give you advice. So, and you know what? Not for nothing, it worked wonders for me, because the last person I went professionally to see, they told me to leave my job, find myself in education, do my thing. And that opened up a shitload of positive doors. I met great people at work, just a few in particular, if not one in particular. You know what I mean? Like, people came into my life because I changed my life. I chose to change my life. And it all started with me making the decision to go see somebody. So have I been searching for somebody to talk to? Yeah, I have. Because I never wanted to ruin anything I had going. And it's one of those things where it tore me apart inside that I was on the cusp of doing that. So I spent literally, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of last week, 3 days of not only just researching people to talk to, but trying to mend everything that I was almost ruining. And I spent it all just to try to get motivated for the weekend ahead. And the weekend ahead was, if you look at it on paper, it was supposed to be the best weekend of the year. And I wasn't excited about it. And that's when I knew there was a problem. I was like, wait a minute, why can't I get like jazzed up like I normally do? And I'm always, I mean, you search my social medias, it is heavy with the promotion of the company, WrestlePro, with the promotion of of my Dallas Cowboys and I had tickets to the game. You know what I mean? Like, how can Dave Sturcio not be motivated for this shit? So I knew I needed something to turn the whole tide around, whether it be apologizing until I was blue in the face and literally crying my eyes out and just making sure that people were still on my side. I don't need all the world to support me. I don't need that. I truly don't. I just need the good people that have stuck by my side through all the bullshit to still stick by my side. So going into the weekend, finally, I mustered up the fucking energy to really get pumped. Like, it started like Thursday night. I had to go out, and I'm not telling you, the listener, that alcohol is the answer. It's not. However, when you need to go out once in a while to clear your head, get your mind out of the gutter, get your mind off of all the bullshit, I am more passionate of a football fan than I am of anything else in the world. So I knew if I went out, I sat at a bar, sipped on a couple beers, watched a football game, and kind of cut off communication with everybody, which I kind of did, you know, despite, like, just other than like two people in life, you know what I mean? Like, just kind of cut it off, watch my games, relax, have a good night. And I truly, truly did. I don't got to give you details about every single moment of that night. I could just say that I went out, I sat at a bar, I enjoyed a couple brewskis, and I watched the football game, and I rooted on fantasy, and I made fun of some people that were, you know, rooting for certain teams, and just had a good time. It turned into me again. So Friday, I took a personal day. I took a personal day off of work because I knew it was a Brooklyn night, and I knew it was going to be big, and the weekend was going to just kick ass. So that's what I did. I didn't wake up hungover. I woke up and went to the gym, and I got a haircut, and I was just ready to rock and roll. And I get to Brooklyn, I set up, and it was just being around the boys again, and just, it lifts your spirits up, especially when you love wrestling as much as I do and love the company and the people you work with as much as I do. You know, that's what it felt like. It felt like it was just a spirit lifted. I got to sit down with my buddies, and like I said, you'll hear all the interviews. I got to do my ring announcing. I got to do my commentary. For Christ's sakes, like, Mario Bacara sat with me in commentary for like the second half of the show, and I had a ball. I can't even remember. Like, I have fun with Eddie every single time. But when Mario sat down and started to talk in gimmick, like his Croatian sensation gimmick, I was like, this is fantastic. And I loved it. Fast forward, Brooklyn comes and goes. It was amazing. I get home. I, you know, grab some food at the end of the night. I go to sleep knowing that the next day is Rawway Day. And Rawway days are always my favorite, you know, because I know the crowds are going to be big. And what do you know? It wouldn't be a Pat Buck run show had we not have to deal with some snow. And it started to snow, and I realized, all right, it's going to take a hit on attendance wise, but I didn't care. I wasn't going to let that stop me from being as motivated, knowing that there's going to be some bigger names at the show. So here's how the day went. I got in there early. You know, I think call time was like 1 o'clock. I try real hard, but there's so much going on. I got a house party I'm hosting this weekend. So if you want to go, hit me up. If you want to come to my housewarming party, shoot me a message and I'll probably not let you go. But it's going to be a good time. I'll maybe snap about it and you could just live vicariously through me. But anyway, so I had a lot of shit to do Saturday morning before I went to Rawway. But once I got to Rawway, once again, around the boys, you know, and you really, I was struggling last week. But when you see one of your best friends not in the best of moods because of other people's actions, and I was the first one to really let my friend vent to me, and I think I got through to him. And it's funny because he said it best. He's like, you know, being around wrestling really takes the sting out of real life, and it really does. I mean, like, when things are going, ooh, excuse me, protein burps are plentiful. When real life is getting in the way and you don't want to deal with any of this shit anymore, you know, wrestling is a very, very great escape if you embrace it the right way. This kid embraces it the right way because he's probably one of the most talented guys on our roster. He's probably one of the most talented guys on the independent scene, at least in the Northeast. I'm talking Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Maine, fucking the whole Eastern Corridor. I don't know, whatever. I don't have to drop names. I just know that he's one of my best friends in wrestling, and I think he's a phenomenal performer. And if he was having a bad day, I was glad I can help him. And that was the beginning of my day, you know. And then the roster comes to me as I start writing down the card, and I feel like I don't own the company. I don't. Do I wish I did? Sure. I wish I could give Pat a lump sum of money and say, I want to buy in, but I don't think it's for sale. Okay. But like, you know, I love being around when things are starting to be discussed and things like storylines and finishes to matches. And typically as a broadcaster, I don't like to know who's winning and losing because it kind of takes the element of surprise away. But, you know, sometimes when people need advice or you know, some of the ideas are being bounced off of me, like as if like I have any say, which I don't. But I'm, you know, I've been around, you know, half a decade in wrestling and being a fan for since I can remember. You know, I had some ideas, so I got to bounce ideas off my friends, and it was just one of those things where the pre-show of this all was really heating up, and it was getting exciting, and then they opened up doors, and then like you meet a couple guys. Like I met Alberto El Patron right away when he walked in, Eli Drake again, you know, just countless amount of people. And then this is where it kind of took a turn for the unbelievable. And you know, it was one of those scenarios where it's not right place, right time. It's just I'm the guy. I should be the guy. So a couple months back, well, maybe like a month back, when we announced the main event was going to be Alberto El Patron versus Eli Drake for the Impact Wrestling Championship, and it will be filmed for Pop TV for their episode coming up in 2018. So when that announcement dropped, I had asked Pat. I said, "Look, is there a way that like I can announce this main event or commentate it?" And he's like, "Look, man, I don't think so. I think it, you know, they're going to bring in their crew. They got cameras. They got the setup. They got their ring announcer. And you know, they'll probably dub over commentary, and that'll be it." So I thought my night was going to end after the tag team title match, which, by the way, Matt McIntosh, like I just said before, him and Valerio Lamorte, the Apple Corps, took on LAX. Unbelievable. LAX delivered for us this weekend because the night before in Brooklyn, they tore the fucking roof off with the Carinos, the Heavenly Bodies. It was phenomenal. And I love when I can say that to some guys, like, wow, that was the best thing I've ever seen. And then they feel like they didn't have a good match. And if I'm saying it, then they're being too hard, you know, on themselves. But anyway, not getting off topic. So Pat tells me, you know, they're going to have their whole crew, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you know what? Sorry. Okay, you know, accepted, totally accepted. And when we announced it, a couple people on social media said, you know, is Dave going to ring announce an Impact Wrestling main event? And I would reply to them. I'm an honest guy. I was like, nah, sorry. You know, it would have been cool, but don't worry about it. Totally all right. So I said to, I saw Kevin in the lobby in his normal spot when he's selling his merchandise. I said, Kev, should I go get the stats for Patron and Eli Drake, just in case? He goes, that's not a me thing. Go talk to Jeremy Borash, who's backstage. And I'm like, all right, you know, that'll be an easy convo to have. He's only like legendary in the WCW game and now Impact and TNA, and he's a big deal. You know, he's been around the block. He's been in wrestling for a very, very long time, and he's a phenomenal known entity in wrestling. So I go there. I introduce myself. Now, I met Jeremy Borash in Orlando for like 3 seconds. It was a high shake, handshake, goodbye. Nothing there. This time I said, I reintroduced myself. I wasn't going to be like, well, you know, I saw you in Orlando. You know, I wasn't going to do that. So I said, you know, my name's Dave Sturcio. I'm the ring announcer for WrestlePro. I just wanted to inform you that you're match 12. And, you know, I'll get out of your way and let you guys do your thing for the main event. This is where it all goes. Like, I just had like a what the fuck moment. He looks at me. He's like, nah, man, you do it. And I'm like, me do it. You want me to call the main event? You want me to announce, like ring announce the main event? He's like, sure. I mean, you're doing it all night. Why not just keep going? And I'm like, okay. All right, great. And Eli Drake was standing right next to him. So I was like, Eli, you know, what's your stats? Blah, blah, blah. Even though I fucking had them from the last night. So I knew what they were. But I was just being professional, and I walked away, and I kind of looked around, and I'm not even gonna lie to you. I went to the bathroom, you know, locker room. There's a bathroom in the back, and there was nobody in there, thank God, because I stood there for a minute, looked myself in the mirror. I'm all dressed. I'm ready to go for the night. You know, I'm in my blue suit, not a black suit. I feel like this suit fit me better. looking as good as I could possibly look at this moment. And I looked in the mirror and I broke down a little bit. I like kind of started to tear up. I was like, they're going to let me do this. Like, you earned this, motherfucker. Like, this is it. Go do what you've wanted to do your entire life. You know, just for shits. Like, this is it. This is one chance. Go kill it. So, you know, the event comes and goes, and the event is phenomenal, top to bottom. Everybody's kicking the shit out of each other. It's amazing. Great moments. Colt Cabana was back. He put on a clinic with CPA. Hilarious shit. Just overall, just a great show. So there, you know, the main event comes. I do my thing. I have my friend Jess in the crowd record it, you know, just in case I never see it again. Obviously, I'll see it because the footage comes to us via Carlos and his production crew. So I do it. The match goes. I call the match. Obviously, the commentary, me and Eddie are on commentary. The night's over. I say goodnight and thank everybody for 2017, right? So that's supposed to be it. We clean up. We're supposed to go home. Negative. Here comes more. So I go, and this is not trying to be a mark for myself. This is just one of those highlights for my life and my career and my chase that I like to share with you guys, because I only got to share it with like a couple people. So I'd like to share it with everybody. Why not? It's not being a mark for myself, but you know what? At the end of the day, I told you guys last week, time to be a little selfish and try to really succeed a little bit more. So Kevin's talking to Jeremy Borash while we're all cleaning up. Kevin calls me over. And he says, can you be responsible for getting Jeremy the footage? Because he needs to use it for Impact. And I said, oh, I was like, wow. Yeah, of course. I don't know why, but I had a brain fart. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be aired on January 4th. And in my head, I'm like, wait a minute. What does this actually mean? Like, I'm going to be on Impact Wrestling. And I was like, I started to smile. And Kevin's like, all right, enough. You know, like he knows I'm getting giddy. And Jeremy Borash looks at Kevin and goes, you know, Kev, why didn't you tell me you had such a good ring announcer? And I was just like, I'm floored at this moment. I'm like, oh, I'm like, thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. Like that means the world to me. And in my head for that minute, for that half a second, I like rewound 1 week. I rewound 1 week in my head and I said, hey there, guy that said I wasn't good, you know, like go stick it, you know, or even though it was in a heated debate and he probably didn't mean it, at the same time, I'm like, oh, yeah, bitch, you know, like just getting excited. And one of those things where I was just like, thank you, I appreciate it. And he's Kevin's like, why are you talking him up, Jeremy? You're the ring announcer for Impact. And he literally looked at me and goes, yeah, but I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, I have so much stuff going on. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be offered a job right now. But obviously I didn't. But, hey, here's the door. Here's the window. He doesn't give me his email. He gives me his phone number. We talk the entire next day about footage and shit like that. These are the windows that I talk about. When opportunities come around, these are the ones you cannot mess up. I was professional. I wasn't a little mark boy bitch. I wasn't going to be like, well, you know, like, oh, I know I'm good. Like, I'm never confident when it comes to that shit. I know I'm good, but I'll never brag about it unless it's in a joking matter. Like with me and Eddie, I always say like, hey, everybody come over here and listen to how good me and Eddie are. Cause we are, we're fucking awesome. But, that was my Saturday night and I drove home, you know, it's snowy. It's shitty. But I drove home that night with just this fucking stupid smile on my face. The entire night, and it was surreal. It was one of the best feelings ever. I'm not a spiritual guy. I'm really not. I'm a Catholic. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not a practicing Catholic. I don't go to church all the time, and I go to church every Sunday. But if the Lord has a plan for me, maybe this is the direction that it needed to go. Maybe I needed to hit rock bottom and feel like the world was about to end all of a sudden, and then just turn it all around. And sometimes, I'm telling you right now, that's the kind of shit you need in life. You need a little kick in the ass once in a while. You need to feel bad about yourself for just a little bit and say, you know, this sucks. And then you say, wait a minute, there's so many other people out there that have it worse. So that's the wrestling weekend. I get up the next morning, 7:30 in the morning. My alarm goes off. I do like a fucking kip up out of bed. And if you don't know what a kip up is, like the Shawn Michaels kip up thing. And if you didn't think I actually did a kip up, do it on a mattress. It's a lot easier than a ring. So I get up. Get to my father's house. You know, I get to go watch my squad, my Dallas Cowboys go. I go with my brother, my best friend Greg, and my brother-in-law Rob. And, you know, we go up there. We officially are the worst tailgaters ever. We literally just brought, no bullshit, like 45 beers for four people and chips. No grill, no sandwiches, no nothing. Just chips and beers. And I was just like, fuck it, let's just get hammered. And we did. It was just a phenomenal time. You know, and on top of all else, you know, we go into the stadium and, you know, the Cowboys are struggling at first. And I'm like, oh God, like this weekend was just too good to be true. Like, here comes the downfall. Something's going to go wrong. And then in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys just buckled down and beat the piss out of a very bad, bad Giants team. And I walked out of that stadium. Like, if you're a friend of mine on Snapchat, you probably thought that I was the biggest drunken fool ever. And I think I was. I paid for it the whole way home. My brother's driving me home, and I get to the dinner table at my father's house. My wonderful stepmother, happy Hanukkah, by the way. She cooks dinner, and I'm just, my fucking forehead's on the table. I can barely move. I'm shivering because it was so cold all day. And it was just like, it was the worst but best feeling ever. And that was my weekend. And I had off yesterday or Monday. I took a personal day. It wasn't a personal day. I wasn't going to do that. It was teachers in service, and I wasn't required to go. So I relaxed. I had a great Monday. And Tuesday, you know, as I'm recording this, I went to school today. And I had one of those better days. And I just walked around like fucking Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? Just like swaying my arms like it was like I'm on top of the world. You know, I got to get to announce to all my friends that maybe some of my work has paid off, and I get to be on Impact Wrestling. And you know, there's things that people can take good and be like, wow, that's great. Or people can say, it's just Impact. But I don't give a shit. I personally think there's two games in town, and there's the WWE and there's Impact Wrestling. I don't care if Impact Wrestling never catches WWE. I never, and they know that. They're trying to put a good product on TV. They have a TV deal with Pop TV, and I think it can only get bigger. They're on the ground level now, and they're scratching the surface. They got a lot of talent down there, and I think they could be very, very big. And I'm a fan. I've been a fan since, you know, for a while, but then when you sign my boys, like a Kevin Matthews, like a Mario and a Fala, those are the guys that inspire me to know that, wow, I'm watching my friends on TV. So if not for anything else, for one time only, one night only, if that's the last of it, unless they edit it out, which again, it's wrestling, things happen. I get it. They would not say boo if they said, this is great ring announcing, but we got to spin it and we got to cut it this way, yada, yada, yada. And I'm all of a sudden, boom, I'm not on the fucking TV show and I look like an idiot. It is what it is, but I got a good feeling. I haven't got a text from Mr. Borash about the footage of saying it's bad or anything like that. So it's been very, very rewarding. This weekend has been completely everything I wanted it to be, that I needed it to be. And it really turned around. And sometimes it does get, you know, sometimes it does take getting a little dirt kicked in your face and you know, a kick in the dick here and there. But sometimes that's only going to make you stronger. And I think that's what it did for me. And I think it brought me to a whole new vision of my career and heading into 2018, wanting it to make it a career and not do this on the side anymore. And I'm not talking about just broadcasting and ring announcing. I'm talking about the company with CWE, and I'm talking about being a contracted talent for voiceover. I'm talking about making a healthy, happy living, doing everything that I set out to do 11 years ago. So with that being said, there are interviews that I want to get to. I want you to listen to these guys' stories. I'll break in between each one, break it all down for you. Then I'll get to your stuff. This might be a little bit of a longer episode, but I'm okay with that. So just bear with me. First and foremost, Ken Dixon, like I said, he's representing MCW from Maryland. We sat down for just about 6 minutes, just shooting the shit, but you'll get that old school feel out of Ken Dixon, exactly what I look for in a professional wrestler. So I'm doing my little wrap up here. I'm trying to get in touch with a couple of the guys that are not just so much WrestlePro regulars, but a couple of the guys that I find fascinating only because of today's post. Ken Dixon is my guest right now just because I caught him off guard. Ken, the post you put today. First of all, before I get into all that, How long you been doing this, man? Because we're all you're catching fire right now, so we're trying to figure out how long this has been going on.
I've been working for about 4 years now. September it'll be 4 years. So, yeah.
Where'd you start? Who trained you?
I started at Gilbert's with Axel Rotten, but then the school shut down like a month later, and it's just been a kind of a bumpy road until I got hooked up with MCW.
MCW seems to have total control on Baltimore right now and Maryland, and those crowds are insane. Where did this character that you've built come from? Does it come from somebody like creative over there, or is that something that you came up with on your own?
It's just how I feel. A lot of it, I mean, I get some really good direction on how to do things for a crowd, but a lot of it is just based on how I feel, man. I'm not really big into the entitlement era. I really don't care for a lot of what I see on TV. I dig 80s wrestling.
So you're more of an old school guy.
Yeah, I love a story, man. It's so much more digestible.
So I see you're a fan favorite only because of the post that I read today. That was fascinating. Basically telling, and this is something I've been discussing for months on my podcast, how fans have kind of injected themselves into our show. You know what I mean? Like coming up with their own catchphrases and gimmicks. And where did that actually, did you see something online, or did something just kind of light that fire?
Well, I saw something online this morning, and there are some fans that have been given, they've been given an inch and they've taken a mile, you know, telling everybody they're paying dues. And it really just kind of burned my ass because they have a section that they get to, you know, like they already have a gimmick. Like, that's terrible. Like, they don't dictate the show. We do.
Right.
And even when they think they do, we do.
Right.
And it just sucks that some of the boys are willing to let that happen. I don't believe in that. You know, I just...
So that's a very old school, you're still kayfabe crazy right now. Like, you believe in it and you think it should exist because here at WrestlePro, and you've seen it, there are the loyals. You know what I mean? We see the same crowd a lot, especially in Rahway. Like, tonight we're in Brooklyn, but... Do you feel like it is completely crossing a boundary when fans are given not so much spots, but like special guest ring announcer, special guest timekeeper? Are you a fan of giving the fans a little bit or not at all?
I'm okay with like the ring announcer. Hey, you know what? You want to buy a 50-50 ticket and that's your prize. You get to announce the main event. Cool. But I mean, that's it. It's like you start letting people in. What's that going to do to your ticket sales? Then you got people that don't want to pay because they're part of the show now.
Right.
Like, now you're losing money. You're fucking with your business. I mean, and if you want to just be a mark for yourself and, you know what I mean, just run shows for the hell of it, that's cool. But like,
right. The way I saw it today, we have fans that have literally come to the bars after and drank with us. How do you feel about that? Like, literally interacting with the wrestlers after the show. Where it burns me too, because I personally don't like when fans think they're like, it's one thing to have their support, you know, but when they think they're friends, like that cast across the line for you at least.
Yeah, I don't like it. I see some people that kind of take advantage of it. Like if you want to let them buy stuff for you, they do it. I don't like it. For me personally, I don't want to create a connection with anybody. I don't like, if you feel like I'm a good person, you're probably not going to boo me when I, you know, when I'm doing something cruddy to somebody. I want all of my heat. I don't want to share it with anybody. I don't want to give it to anybody else unintentionally. And I want fans to buy tickets and be fans.
So you're making your way around. I see, you know, obviously the MCW. I think you're with Wildcat as well, if I'm not mistaken. Luke Hawks is one of my guys. He's one of the real cool dudes that are down to earth. I'm still trying to get down there, you know, to be either a commentator or something. I've asked him plenty of times because I think they came up here. I went to Philly once.
Yeah, I worked on that
show. Yeah, yeah. So they went to Philly once, and I was like, hey, man, if you need something, you know. I did it the old school way. I didn't say, hey, tag a promotion if you want to see me in this show. I had a whole episode of that last week. Do you feel like that's productive at all? Or is that just, as I put it last week, fucking lazy?
I've gotten some promoters that'll be like, hey, man, cool, you're open this date. Do you want to work? It's worked, but I don't do it very often. Like, if I do it, it's like, here's where I'm going to be, not tag a promoter because I'm too lazy to message anybody. I do feel like that's lazy. You know, if somebody else has a tagger promoter, what's that promoter think about this guy?
The way I said it was like, wait a minute, they don't know who you are? Well, that's your fault.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's totally your fault.
100%.
You're not out there enough, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So 2017 is about to wrap up. This is one of the last two shows for WrestlePro. What has been your highlight this year in particular? I know you said you've been doing it for 4 years now, but in this year in particular, what stands out for Ken Dixon?
I mean, this has been a really good year for me. I feel like I'm really starting to come into my own, finding out who Ken Dixon is. I mean, there's been a lot of good quality time in the ring this year with a lot of good quality guys. I'm getting to a lot of new places and collecting a little bit of gold when I go out. And, you know, just looking forward to keeping it moving, man, trying to get, you know, breakthrough.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you can follow Ken Dixon on all social medias if you want to plug those as well.
Yeah, @_KenDixon and Ken Dixon on Facebook.
There you go. Ken Dixon in action tonight in Brooklyn. Obviously, I'll talk more about that when I record on Tuesday as far as his match is concerned. But be sure to follow Ken Dixon from here at WrestlePro down to MCW, down to Wildcat. The guy's all over the place. And he will stomp a mud hole in a fan if they try to get out of line one more time. Thanks, Ken. So that's Ken Dixon. As you can hear, he's an angry guy, but at the same time, he means well. You know what I mean? Like, he's the kind of guy that will he'll kick your ass in the ring. He'll work for you. He'll work hard. He'll sell his body for the greater good of the fans. And just don't overstep your welcome, fans. You know, like, I love my fans, and I love the support I get from all my friends. And, you know, sometimes I just think that, and I've said this before, I think that we as wrestlers and we as performers and people that are in the show and on the show, like a ring announcer, commentator, ring girl, bell ringer, who gives a fuck, whatever role you have on the show, I think there is a line. And I think that we still have to dig deep down there one day and establish that line in the sand again, and don't let people cross it. Make the barricade a little higher. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's fair, and this is, like I said, not trying to be a dick, but I don't think it's fair that I went to school, I put my time in, I paid some dues, you'll never have dues paid in full, trust me on that one. You'll always be doing favors for people, and that's just the way this business works. You will pay your dues, and you'll put the time in, and, like, for me to become a ring announcer for WrestlePro, and all of a sudden, the voice of WrestlePro, where I'm a known commodity as that, when a person or a fan with zero experience and zero credibility becomes your ring announcer and promotes it like I'm the fucking ring announcer, it bugs me. It bugs me a little bit, because I know damn well, deep down inside, that it's one of those things where I don't think it's fair. And I think I put in a lot more time than you, so you don't deserve that spot. And that's just, like, it's not me being bitter. It's just me saying there's certain spots in professional wrestling where things are earned and they shouldn't be given. My next two guests, two great dudes, TJ Crawford of the Beach Bums, Officer Alex Lasko of Job Security. Alex talks about his start with WrestlePro, his start with the Creator Pro School, his emergence, his fast emergence with Job Security, how it all presented itself, and that he's going to be taking a little time off. I mean, sometimes real life is too much, and you have to deal with the real life shit. TJ Crawford, another amazing story about his relocation of his life to become a professional wrestler, train the right way, find a right school for him. It's a phenomenal interview. Enjoy.
Now, as I've been kind of making my rounds here in Brooklyn, trying to catch up with a couple of my buddies, I've wanted to do this for a long time. We just sat down with Ken Dixon. I don't know what order we're going to put these things in, but I'm sitting here now with WrestlePro's TJ Crawford from the Beach Bums and then Officer Alex of Job Security. So you know what that means? We're breaking all sorts of kayfabe right now, because you guys have been feuding for, like, what, a year?
Yeah, I'd probably say a
while. Alex, I'll start with you because he's more interesting. I'm kidding. When did you start the school, and how fast has all this kind of happened for you?
So I started, my first day was actually Halloween 2016. So yeah, I came in on that Monday, and that was my first day of training. And it's all been just, like, you know, working really hard in the gym and working hard in practice. But I mean, it was like within the first month, you know, when Kevin needed me to be part of the security team, I was out there getting whooped by Moff and getting chucked across a ring. I mean, it was.
And that was before Job Security, right? You were just security.
Mm-hmm. We were just security.
So you're the guy in the black T-shirt just going out there getting killed.
Going out there getting killed, never flip bumping yet. And, you know.
I remember that. Was that Starland?
No, that was the Rahway.
When he lost his mind and killed everybody.
Right, that was when wow. he got screwed out of the title and against Bobby, and then we came out, and it was just like, you know, my heart pounded out of my chest, and then just had to jump, and Muff just threw me like a volleyball across the ring.
So, all right, so that happens, things happen, you start training a little heavier and harder. When job security is presented to you, what's your first reaction?
I was just very, very grateful to be given something and just be told that, you know, you guys are going to be paired with Bobby. And, you know, I was ecstatic. I was, like, you know, happy. I was just very grateful for what I was given. And I just knew, I'm going to be getting these spots on the show. So people, like, you know, my friends and family will get to see me. And I'm just going to keep working harder and harder and, you know, hopefully it gets noticed. And
how many people have you brought to, like, one show, like, to see you? What's the most?
I think the most I've had so far is like 15.
15 people. Yeah. 15. You're almost like Destruction, but hey, listen, you know, not everybody could sell all those tickets and be a hometown hero like me. So, all right, so now we're coming up to the end of 2017. And this guy's spinning up food. Yeah, you thought I was done with him. We're coming up to the end of 2017. There's been talks between, obviously, the company where things are getting in the way. Tell me a little bit more about that, only because people that are aspiring to be pro wrestlers would like to know how much of a grind this is, because it does get in the way of your real life.
Mm-hmm. So just to give everybody an idea, so I work full time, and so that's like 40 hours a week. And in order to do that, because I know I'm just going to be gassed at night, I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning to weightlift or do yoga or whatever I'm going to do that day. And then, you know, you've got an 8-hour work day. Afterwards, then if it's time for me to do homework, then it's like I've got to sit down for a couple hours, and you know, all the while I'm like monitoring the clock for dieting and stuff. It's a lot of stuff, and you know, I took out loans to be able to go back to school for my master's and stuff. So when I put more energy and effort into one thing, you know, for example, like focus more on wrestling, then my school would suffer and my grades would go down a little bit. And then if I focus more on you know, school, then it's like I feel like I'm not training as much as I should be, and things aren't as crisp as they should be. So I mean, there's a lot of conflicting things. I mean, there's real life responsibilities that you have to handle. It you can't just, I mean, wrestling's fantastic, I mean, I love it, but it's like there's other things, like real world issues that you have to deal with. You can't just wrestle all the time, because there's bills that got to get paid, and you got to focus on your future and stuff. So
well, a lot of people can make a career on the indies. It's the hardest thing in the world to make a career out of wrestling. You need to get that contract, you need to get on NXT and all this other stuff. Some people have made a complete living. A guy we have here tonight, Colt Cabana, has made a complete living on the indies, right. And it's been fantastic. But dude, no matter what happens, we're not gonna see the last year. I got a feeling, like, once everything kind of, the dust settles, You're gonna hear that alarm, that alert, and here comes the return of Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sweating just thinking about, like, how am I supposed to, like, get it out of my system, just, like, thinking, oh, it's a Monday, like, you know, I need to be at training. I mean, I've been doing, like, once a week now, just trying to balance with school, but right. I don't know how I'm going to get it out of my system, because it's something that's become so ingrained in my life and something I love. It's only a matter of time before, you know, everything else gets stable and I'll be back and doing what I love, so.
That's awesome, because let me tell you something, it might be for the best for you, because there's been times where I've been, and this is documented on Pat's podcast a couple times, I've been kicked out of WrestlePro. You know what I'm saying? Like, that time away, you never know how to fill it, and then you do focus on everything else, and then you get back. You get back, and I truly think you'll be back. So, TJ, Tommy Condido, bro, Brock a shot, whatever the fuck you guys say.
Breaking the wall there, saying my real name.
Yeah. Well, CPA, you're next, brother. CPA just arrived at the building as well. So you're more of an interesting story. Not saying you're not interesting over here, Alex, but I'm saying as far as your start, you've been doing this a little longer.
Yeah.
When did you start?
I started January 20th of 2016. That was probably only like a week after I moved here from Chicago.
So that's something that people don't know. Yeah. You literally left a state to come to Jersey to wrestle for WrestlePro and create a pro New Jersey.
Oh yeah, I you know, my growing up, I lived 8 years here in Jersey, and then I turned eight. My dad retired from the fire department, and my mom's family was from Chicago, so it was their decision to pack up our stuff and move to Chicago, and I spent 10 years there. And I got like a really good friend group, still guys that I'm friends with today. And then I'd always had the dream of being a professional wrestler, but going into high school, I actually stopped watching wrestling and stopped wanting that dream.
It was probably during the bad times, like 2000s, early 2000s. Yeah. Nobody's watching wrestling anymore.
No, it was 2011, actually. The summer of punk was the last thing that I watched until I stopped.
And you're a Chicago guy. How dare you?
Exactly. And I'm a Chicago guy, and that was when I stopped. Because I figured, I'm going into high school now, and, you know, growing up, wrestling was always, like, the childish thing to do. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to focus on school. I played basketball 4 years of high school.
What position?
I was grammar school. I was a center because I was 5'7" in fifth grade. But
I was gonna say you're 5'6" now. I feel like you got shorter.
I shrunk. But in high school, I was a point guard, shooting guard. Okay. So, but after high school, I had a few options for college. I actually had a scholarship to go play at Holy Cross College in like right next to Notre Dame. And
Holy Cross is where Rudy went, right? Before he got there. Oh, wow, look at that, huh?
So, you know, it wasn't like a big scholarship or everything. It was just a little bit off to play. It wasn't guaranteed anything. It was just kind of, hey, you know, we would like you to come here to play.
So that's where the ups come from, I'm assuming.
That's where the up was at. But I actually decided halfway through my senior year that I didn't want to play basketball anymore. And I wanted to actually fulfill the dream of being a professional wrestler. I didn't know anything of how to get it started. So my plan was go to college for 4 years. After my 4 years are up, go and start training. But 3 months into college, I realized that college life was not for me. And I called my parents up, told them everything that was going on, how I wasn't doing well in school because my mind was not focused on it. I was more focused on finding a place to train, and that's what I would do. That's what I would spend most of my days doing.
Well, I'm just glad you took that route as far as finding a school rather than the latter, where everybody in the history of mankind can now call themselves a pro wrestler because, shit, why not, you know? Yeah. So at least you went the right route.
Yeah, so it was actually between three schools that I had was trying to decide between. It was Black and Brave Wrestling.
Is that Rollins?
That's Rollins' school. Because I believe that they have a school in Moline, Illinois, which is only 3 hours away from me, where I was living at. The Wild Samoan Academy in Florida. I didn't look up too much about it. I just knew that there was a school there.
Right.
And then I came across Creator Pro, and I realized that Creator Pro here in New Jersey would probably be my best bet because I have...
For a location or...
Because I have a lot of family that's around the area. So I figured it's a good way to, you know, I have a stable home for you know, a while until I... make enough money myself to get my own apartment, which I have now.
You do?
I do.
I thought you were living in Rin's hot dog truck.
I pretty much used to. Now I'm only working there 2 days a week.
That's good.
But so I packed in my stuff at right after New Year's. I think it was January 5th or something like that I packed up all my stuff and headed out. And it was, you know, it was really tough on me because I had built such a great relationship with the people that I had grown up with in Chicago, and it was really tough for me to leave a lot of those guys because it was tough to leave them, but it was also not so tough because they were so supportive of me, and they all throughout the 3 months that I was away at college, I was roommates with three of my best friends. One of my friends, Mike, he's actually the one who convinced me to
take the plunge and get the jersey and do your thing.
Yeah, he's really into filmmaking and he wants to be a director and he's doing really good with that right now. So we both agreed that we would go follow our dreams, and mine just happens to be leaving my home to come here and do it.
Now, as commendable as it's probably one of the cool stories to hear about, because the cooler stories are the ones that people are doing to travel. And, you know, when the schools first opened, I remember there was a couple students that. Whatchamacallit, that came from 2 hours away, you know, like, that was the journey, you know? But, like, when I first heard about you literally relocating your life to train at Creator Pro, that's very commendable. Now, fast forward, it's probably been a whirlwind. Where the fuck did the beach bums come from? Because I don't remember. Listen, I've been here since WrestlePro started. I don't recall having that conversation with anybody. It's just all of a sudden, like, throw up a sign and you guys are a fucking trio? What happened here?
So... Let's talk about the partners first. So we got Brody. Brody started probably a week after I did.
And he's old as fuck too, right?
Yeah. We're not gonna reveal Brody's age, but yes, he is old as shit.
Just recently married. Congratulations, Brody.
But so yeah, Brody started a week after me, and me and him got really close from the start. We had similar interests, and we figured we both knew, so you know, we were starting this journey together. And then I would say three months go by, and Freddie had joined. And we kind of formed our little like group.
You didn't know Freddie before
I didn't know anybody coming in. The only person I was any sort of familiar with was Anthony Bowens, because he's a family friend.
Yeah, if he starts bumping around on the ring and ruining this podcast, yeah, I'll kill him, because I can see him warming up right now.
He's getting ready.
He's getting ready.
So
you knew Bowens before?
I didn't know Bowens, but my dad had grown up with his mom.
Oh, okay. Cool.
When they were younger, and Bowens' dad is really good friends with my cousin's uncle.
Wow.
So we've
it's all in the family. All right, cool.
Family. But so fast forward to when Russ Pro announced the trios tournament, I don't think I was at practice that day. I think I was coming back from vacation home in Chicago, and I get a text from Sean. He had put him and Freddie in a group chat. And you know, the text was saying, "Hey, Russ Pro is starting this trios tournament. This is probably our best opportunity to get on shows. We should form a team with the three of us." So we're like, "Okay, we're all down for it. None of us have any direction. We don't know what kind of gimmicks we want to have. We didn't know what to do. We didn't want to get lost in the shuffle. So we figured a three-man team would probably be the best bet to go right now." And it was two days of just straight ideas going out of names, gimmick ideas.
Was there any like ridiculously bad that you were like, there's no chance in hell we can do this?
Well,
because I need to know this.
there wasn't anything that was like glaringly like we can't do this. There was certain stuff that I was not with because it wasn't something I was comfortable like doing. We had pitched an idea for like a cowboy gimmick.
I would have been a fan of that.
We had, I know Freddie played lacrosse in high school, and so he wanted to do like some sort of like lacrosse gimmick.
If you guys came out as like the Duke lacrosse team, like that would have been fucking amazing. Yeah,
that was one of the ideas spit out, and then I want to say it was Freddie or Sean, probably Freddie, because this is more Freddie's life, was to be like surfer guys, and we're like, okay, let's come up with like surf names. We come up with like Sandcastle Heroes, the Surf City something, I don't know, and then someone said Beach Bums, and we were like, oh, that sounds cool. Little did we know that was the name of a tanning salon.
But yeah, hey, that is, you're right. One of my ex-girlfriends actually went to that one.
That's where I go to tan. So,
nice. You at least get a discount using their name?
I tried.
How are they not sponsoring you guys every show?
I tried. I talked to some people there, and they're like, oh, we'll see. Like, we'll see. We talked to people, but I've never heard anything back yet. So next time I go back, I'm going to have to slip them a few and let them know.
Give them a couple comps. Be like, hey, come check us out. We have your logo on the back of our shirt.
like I said, it was days of figuring out gimmick ideas, and we came across the Beach Bums, and, you know, we went to Mario Baccara about it, and we told him, hey, this is the idea we have. You know, how should we go about pitching the idea to Pat? And he gave us the idea to
don't.
Yeah, right. Don't say anything. He gave us the idea to film a promo and to show Pat. This way we can establish like what our characters are, who's who, and what the whole gimmick's about. So the first one we filmed was in the little room in Rawway.
Who are you kidding? You're still filming there.
That's true. No, we go to the beach now. So we filmed one in there, and it was like we did like 10 takes. We couldn't figure out like what to say, how to go about it. Brody was talking. We didn't know what was going on. So.
Oh, wow. You're right. Brody doesn't talk. A little bit.
A little bit.
He's reading now.
He's getting his reading done. He's figuring it out. But we filmed the promo in there, and we showed it to Pat, and Pat actually really liked it and said that there's a lot of legs with it, and that if we really are serious about doing this, we have to go all out.
Do you know how hard that is to get a good reaction out of Pat Buck? Like, do you understand how hard that is?
We've gotten a few, but it's only after like you have to go out of your way, I feel, to ask.
You didn't get the no, that works.
Trust me, I've gotten that plenty of times.
That's great.
But hey, something's better than nothing.
Absolutely,
that's what I feel. So
it'd be better than radio silence. You know what I mean? Right. Like cricket. No, that's gonna suck. Totally.
Oh yeah.
Referee Steve over here coming in.
Hey, how's it going?
Fresh off your London trip or whatever too.
Yeah.
I'll get to you in a second. Why not?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we did that. We got entered into the trios tournament. I don't think we even had a match in the Trios tournament. Oh, we did, actually. Our first match was supposed to be right here in Brooklyn.
Didn't you get jumped?
And we got jumped by by Team Espinico.
So the debut takes a hit.
Our debut was the night before against Chris Ray Cooling, who's now the gold champion. So that was fun.
Way to move over and give him the spotlight.
Yeah, right. You're welcome, Chris. So, but yeah, the next night we got right here in Brooklyn. We got jumped by Espinicos, and then we actually re-entered the tournament in January in Union against Espinicos to try to reclaim our spot.
Right.
But they hit Freddie with a clipboard.
Now this thing just takes on a life of its own. Now there's a YouTube channel, and that same thing goes for you guys with Job Security. Like I said it on Twitter the other day, and. Okay. You guys,
thank you for that.
Of course, yeah. No, my last podcast episode was me being bitter about how everybody's, you know, I'm doing favors for everybody, and there's not many give back, you know what I mean. But then I'm like, at the same time, I do make friends here, and I'm not a total prick. So like, when I saw something, and you guys, both you guys, between, you know, and I guess, and I hate to bring this to light, but there is a little bit of credit to Grimm and his toy show, and there's a huge following there, and you guys, it has really taken on a life of its own, and sky is the limit, because I talk to Kevin almost on an everyday basis, Kevin Matthews, who does a lot of creative work nowadays, and he sees you guys as just like shining stars above the rest, only for the sole purpose of your promotion of yourselves, and I think there's not enough of that in pro wrestling now. I think it's, I'm complacent, I'll be a gimmick, cool, I'll sell merch, cool, but like, I feel like, you know, it had to be one of your guys' ideas, but like, we got to get all of our stuff on one platform.
That was, I have to 100% credit that to Freddie. Freddie is like a creative mastermind.
And he's an artist. I've seen some of his work.
Artist. The dude just, he does so much shit behind the scenes. You know, like, we film these videos, and you know, I can say that James Romer, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's like the shining star of
he's got more followers than every single member of the WrestlePro roster combined.
Yeah, but
it's fucking disturbing, actually.
But Freddie's the creative mastermind behind all that, and I can't thank him enough for the stuff that he's done for us. You know, helping us get the YouTube channel started, and even going to Grimm's, like you said, helped us out a lot. I was very. I wasn't.
You had to be hesitant.
I was very hesitant to go do it. But then once I got there, the guys he has there are awesome. They're such nice, good guys to be around. And, you know, he's such a big social media following that it's very helpful for us to gain those followers.
Why do you think I had him on my podcast?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna get Twitter followers out of this.
Oh, yeah. But, I enjoy going there. It's, you know, it's a fun little place to be. It's definitely different. So, but he actually helped Freddie, you know, give him some pointers on how to get the YouTube started, how to.
Are you guys getting paid yet for YouTube or no?
Not yet.
Okay, but that's a possibility, right?
We are working on it. We have been. Freddie's been like putting stuff on our videos that is supposed to help us, like I guess, get noticed to start making money off of it. So who knows if we ever will, but that's definitely something that we're working towards right now.
All right. 2018, what's in store for the Beach Bums? Is there a breakup? Are you going to be Sean and just start crushing people and just throwing guys through plate glass windows and shit?
No, I don't think. I mean, I'm not saying that there won't ever be a breakup between the Beach Bums. I hate to think about that right now because
you hear that, folks? He's teasing it. Go ahead.
We have so much momentum going. We have so much momentum going right now that I feel a breakup definitely wouldn't be needed. I think we all still need each other to hide our weaknesses. You know. Sean has weaknesses, Freddie has weaknesses, I have weaknesses that we all need to hide. And I think we all complement each other really well. So if this thing starts to take off, you know, I'm 100% on board with.
You literally have every single piece of merch. You have beach balls, you have fucking everything. It's kind of ridiculous. Where can people find you? And I'll get right back to you, Alex, just because I mean, you guys got a bigger following than me, for Christ's sakes, and it's really upsetting. But where can people follow you on social media?
All right, so you can follow TJ Crawford on Instagram at TJ Crawford Wrestling. You can follow me on Twitter at TJC Wrestling. You can follow the Beach Bums on Instagram at Beach Bums Pro. You can also follow us on Twitter at Beach Bums Pro, or find us on Facebook at The Beach Bums.
Or look up Grimm's bullshit, too. Alex, I know what 2018 in store for you. Obviously, you're going to take a little bit of a sabbatical from wrestling, but I personally am going to be interested in to see your success outside of wrestling. That's just my thing. I see how fast you took off here, how you look the part now, how you are. If I had to take you and Ronnie, I would say are like the standouts right now. And big fucking Malcolm is Malcolm. He's just a big dude. He's a gritty guy. And let's not talk about Jimmy. I'm tired of talking about Jimmy because it's out of control at this point. But where can people follow you, all things either wrestling, find out all your old stuff, and I guess like your new ventures?
Sure. So I actually only have a Facebook right now. I mean,
you loser.
I know, right? I mean, I've totally been slacking in the social media game. So Alexander Lasko on Facebook. And Job Security on Twitter, at Job Security, and Ronnie Moses. Job Security 4, excuse me. And
this is for you. I get it.
Yeah, you get it? And, just Alexander Lasko on Facebook and Job Security 4 on Twitter, where you can keep up with all things job security.
Guys, I really thank you guys. Kill it tonight, obviously. Especially you. You're gonna remember tonight and tomorrow for a long time.
This weekend's gonna be huge.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. We're here in Brooklyn, and we'll go catch up with a couple more guys. But guys, thank you for giving me a couple minutes. And thanks for holding that sandwich over until we were done with this shit. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that's Bum TJ Crawford, Tommy Candido, and Alexander Lasko of Job Security. Those guys are phenomenal people. I'm very sad to see Alex go. So is Kevin. You know, we make jokes about it all the time, but we're gonna really see him back. I got a good feeling about that. And what a story with TJ Crawford literally picking up and going. Chased the dream, didn't settle for basketball, didn't settle for the things he didn't want to do. You know, if you fell out of love with it, you fall out of love with it, and that's just the way it is. But one thing is for sure, both of those guys are up-and-coming stars, and I truly, like I said, I'm going to miss Alex. He was one of my favorite dudes. TJ Crawford's one of the funniest guys out there, and I think the future is very, very bright for both of those young men. So, wrapping up the interviews, like I said, we're all talking wrestling, we're all talking commentating, we're all talking, you know, ring announcing, but what is it like to be a referee? How do you start? What do you do? What kind of opportunities can you get as a referee? Now, keep in mind, he didn't mention about training or wanting to be a wrestler. We talked about that very briefly. However, in this day and age, especially for Creative Pro, if you want to be a referee, you will actually have to go through the Creative Pro camp. It's not, and just like keep in mind, like everybody that is a referee, except, you know, the exception of very few, have to train to become a professional wrestler. And if referee is the route you want to take, you can take that. I have a couple friends that are on the WWE roster right now as referees. They refereed a couple of my matches, like Sean Bennett, very, very nice guy, put in the time, did his due diligence, paid his dues, and now you can see him every Monday night on Raw. I think that's just the phenomenal story. Steve has a great story as well. For where he came up, who his brother is, who I didn't even know he had a brother. So here's referee Steven Dumang. We're making our rounds in Brooklyn. I'm here with Steve Douchebag. No, Steve, how do we pronounce it?
Dumang.
Okay, Dumang. He is one of our, I guess you can call him a senior official at WrestlePro.
I guess,
but not just right. Not just here. Where, like, Steve, did you, first of all, I'm curious because I always like to know where people started, where they come from. Did you want to be a wrestler?
It was never something I intended to do. I actually, funny enough, we're here in St. Pat's. My very first match I refereed with Alex Reynolds and Jay Santana for FWE in this very venue downstairs. So this venue means a lot to me here in Brooklyn, St. Pat's. And it's nice to be back here, still doing our thing despite FWE going their way. WrestlePro is here and killing it, and I'm very much happy and proud to be a part of it and pursue new endeavors beyond what FWE did, because I only ref for them from 2011 to 2015. They closed doors, and I was pretty good at it, and I was like, you know what, let me do this full-time.
When did it start? When did you start?
2011, first match. Downstairs, Alex Reynolds, Jay Santana.
So it was just like, hey man, here's the stripes, see what you got?
Actually, pretty much. The first two referees that were supposed to be on the event at the FW event actually no-showed.
Go get them, kid.
So, yeah, pretty much. So basically, they were not available. I was very familiar with wrestling. I had been doing, you know, I've come to very many indie shows, watching products between Ace Wrestling and brushing up on whatever I could find on the internet. Obviously, WWE and stuff that was on TV existing during that time. So I kind of knew what I was doing. I had an idea of what was going on. I trained very minimally around like my brother, who's also a wrestler. And
brother's a wrestler?
A lot of people don't know that.
Who's your brother?
Colossal Mike Law.
That's your brother?
Wow. You're getting some secret sauce.
Boy, did I just get something. Like, I had no fucking idea. Are you kidding?
Swear? Yeah. That's literally, yeah. And he trained over at Arena Puerto Rico and into the doghouse, and I was very familiar with everyone there. It's how I met guys like Homicide, Dan Moff, and, Steve Mack, very young in my career, and it was cool to work with Homicide later on in my career, so it's nice to come full circle. But in any case, I digress. I was very familiar with wrestling. He had taught me a lot of things. I had been in a ring before and had a good awareness of what the rules are, and they were like, hey, we have a shirt. Oh my god, this is just reminding me of how embarrassing my first set of attire was. It was terrible. I had my
spray painted black lines on a white t-shirt.
That actually would have looked better, to be quite frank, because I had a shirt from this venue because I didn't have a shirt. They asked if they could get me one, so they found one, and let me tell you, I'm a small guy, and I'm sure everyone knows that, but I not only tied this behind me in a knot, and I tucked it in, but it still did not fit properly. It was a triple XL shirt.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know where it caught up.
No worries. Dave, very busy here.
I got a phone call from like Charlotte. Charlotte, North Carolina. I hope it was Flair. Go ahead.
In any case, so yeah, I had just the best attire ever, consisting of jeans, and I'm obviously sarcastic here before someone gets on your show and says, that guy's so unprofessional. No, and all jokes aside, there was jeans, my brother's shoes, earrings, a necklace. Oh, it was just the triple XL shirt. It was just embarrassingly bad. White socks, like everything. I think it was a white belt. I think everything.
White socks, Jerry Lewis, nice.
I think everything you could do wrong as a referee in your attire, that is, in representing yourself properly, was done wrong that night. But fortunately, that was my one moment to do that, and thankfully, going forward, I never had to ever wear something like that again. It was Dickies from that day on. But it was a great experience, and I learned a lot. I refereed that very first night. Eric Young versus Damian Darling, also.
So, Damian Darling, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Double D.
Yeah, right. So I got a
Chris Statlander's in the house as well. She's just getting here. Big match tonight for Chris. Hope she's ready.
Yes. Hopefully.
One on one with Sienna later on tonight. That's going to be awesome.
I can't wait to see that one. This girl here has been killing.
I'm sweating.
Has been killing it and has been all over the place. Progressing.
All
right.
Not to make this too long winded, but like.
No worries.
Fast forward.
Yeah.
We're here now, but you went across the pond to referee. I mean,
I did.
How do you find an opportunity like that? Or how did it find you?
It's all about networking, just staying positive, keeping a great attitude, being opportunistic and always being available. And something I pride myself in is always having a good attitude and making sure to always put myself out there, So I had, I actually worked at LDN, which is a great experience. It was my first time overseas, even for wrestling and anything in general. And it felt safe because I figured if I was going to go outside the country, at least in England, they speak English.
Right, so, right.
At least I wasn't feeling
it's
too.
It's your people.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't feel too out of the loop there. So obviously there wouldn't be no language barrier there. And it was a great experience, man. It was nuts to be a part of shows that they had hosted on Mondays and Tuesdays. They ran a whole tour. So it was a 10-day tour. And I was there for about half of it. And they ran shows on Mondays and Tuesdays. And there was over 200 people
on a Monday and a Tuesday.
It was insane.
I think it's a very untapped market over there.
Absolutely. With what's going on there, RevPro, Progress, so many wrestling companies exploding. Obviously, the UK tour, the UK division that WWE has established has really helped incite that area. And it's definitely something very, very cool to see. Because out here in the States, unless you're WWE, I highly doubt anyone's doing 200 plus on a Monday or Tuesday. So obviously it's different cultures, but it was really cool to see that because when I had heard about that from other LDN reps before me, like MJF, Bear Bronson, also Anthony Bowens, Flip Gordon, those guys also having gone there before me. So I kind of had an idea of what to expect. I didn't believe them, but obviously there was that part of me that was like, oh yeah, of course. But I was very, very surprised to see that. And I was very fortunate to make connections here at a company at Tier 1 Wrestling. And that's where I met the promoter, and then from there, stayed in touch.
He shall remain nameless. But anyway, how can everybody follow all things referee, Uncle Steve.
That is me, Uncle Steve. Funny enough, quick aside, yeah. Uncle Steve comes from the fact that I've been uncle since I was 10 years old.
Oh, well, that's the more you know.
Yeah, the more you know. You learn a lot here, guys. But in any case, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, please, dude, of course.
Please follow me at Ref Steven Dumeng. That is R-E-F-S-T-E-V-E-N-D-U-M-E-N-G. Also, my Instagram is Ref Steven Dumeng, and Facebook is Steven Dumeng. So it's a lot of amazing things to catch up on there. Some Thirsty Thursdays, some drunk karaoke. It's all PG, though.
All right. Very cool. Well, listen, kill it tonight. I will be standing right next to you doing the old ring announcer thing, and we're happy to have you back.
Thank you very much. All right, brother. Pleasure.
Thanks, dude.
So there's Steven Dumeng, referee, senior official for WrestlePro. He's been around the block. He's doing great things. And that just goes to show you that maybe if professional wrestling is in your blood and you want to do it, and you're one of those things, that one of those goals that you really want to accomplish, and maybe the bumping and all that stuff isn't for you, well, then guess what? There's other ways to go about it. I want to thank Steve, TJ, Alex, Ken Dixon for joining me this week. Like, you talk about four random people. You know, it wasn't trying, like, there's people on these shows where it's like, oh, I'm going to get Eli Drake, or oh, I'm gonna go get Jack Swagger. Like, sometimes the stories that you hear from these people are different. You know, it's a little different. So I'm going to go to the Facebook page I posted on Monday. For anybody to give any predictions or favorite highlights of 2017, I'll read them as they are. Mike Malaria, which is obviously one of my biggest supporters, and he's been unbelievable this year, especially helping out Pat with his podcast. He goes, starting with a question, what was it like calling an Impact Championship match? Halfway through the match, it occurred to me how cool it would be for you and Eddie. Can't wait to hear it. Well, obviously, we discussed the commentary will be dubbed over, I believe, but to ring announce it was pretty surreal. It was one of those moments where I was just really, really excited to be a part of it, blessed to be a part of it. And it was one of those things where it was like almost like a culmination, like you busted your ass for this entire year. This is how you're supposed to end it. And not for nothing, being that it's going to be aired on January 4th of 2018, it's not a fucking bad way to start it. So comments about my year. 2017 got off to a really sucky start, but it finished strong. Really found inspiration in surprising places, including Destruction 101. Thanks, Dave. Dude, you don't understand. Like when you posted that a couple weeks back about, you know, being down in dark places and then I helped you out, like that, you don't understand how much that touched me. And like it fucking, it teared me up. And it, you know, I told my wife, and I'm like, I was like, this is the kind of shit that I do this for. This is the kind of stuff that makes me just happy. You know, it brings a fucking the biggest joyful tear to my eye, and I cannot thank you enough for everything that you've done personally for me, making me feel like this podcast was worth doing and starting and continuing and continuing into 2018. Favorite matches. Oh, so his favorite matches. The feud between Danny Moff and Buck pretty much defined the year in wrestling for me. Those guys truly gave everything they had to make sure that the audience was home satisfied every night. The dedication is incredible. It was. Between the promos leading up, the entire year-long feud, I got to call every single one of their matches. Just what they do to just entertain people is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable how somebody will take professional wrestling and know that it's an art form, but at the end of the day, it's about having fans and support, and they put it all on the line to try to entertain those fans, and I think they did a really, really fucking phenomenal job. I couldn't agree with you more. Lots of favorite WrestlePro moments, but I think Santa Ba may end up topping it all. I keep thinking of Jingle Ba and busting out laughing. Sean Donovan has become a highlight every show. He really is. Sean Donovan's been wrestling for, in my eyes, 80 years, and he's got his own podcast. Go check it out. It's called A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with Sean Donovan. It's on the B+ Player Radio Network. He's everybody's. He's the heel's heel. He's the grizzled vet. He's the bitter, just asshole. But he's not like that. He's the, like, if you know him, which he doesn't let a lot of people in, but when he does, his brain is wrestling. His heart, his blood is professional wrestling. He's been doing this for a while. He hasn't caught a break that he should have years back. So now this is his time. And even if he is getting his ass kicked by guys like Ted DiBiase and Jake Roberts and fucking Falaba or Santa Claus or whatever you wanted to call him at that time, these are the moments that he even embraces as saying, like, this is incredible. So the years that he's put in and sacrificing his body and bumping around for everybody, these are the biggest moments in his career right now, I think. And he could probably justify that as well. But Sean Donovan is something special. Santa hadn't, Allison, I don't like to toot my own horn. I know this episode seems like it's just a fucking love fest about myself. However, the Santa Claus Fall of Boss segment was written and produced by me. Okay. We were trying to figure out, we had a plan for Sean Donovan in Rahway. It fell through. So he just said to me, Pat and Kevin said, we'll figure something out. Nothing got brewed. I mean, I'm sure something would have. And then, of course, you know, like there's no questions in my mind if something would have happened, either inserted into a match or whatever. I go to Pat in Brooklyn and I said, Pat, do we have any Santa? Like, what I did was I was looking at, we had a massive tree in Brooklyn. It was lit up and I was like, wow, this is really Christmassy, you know? I was like, hey, Pat, we don't have a Santa spot. I know it's like kind of cliche for a wrestling company to do some kind of Santa spot, but I was like, you know what? We don't have one. Like, we need one. And I go to Donovan and I said, hey, is that thing happening with you and blah, blah, blah? And he's like, no, it fell through. I don't think it's happening. I was like, all right, well, what if we did this? Like, what if we had Santa? Like, I don't know who's going to play Santa yet in my head at that moment. I didn't know. I was like, but you've been getting beat up by everybody lately. Why not get either beat up or you beat up Santa? I mean, there's nothing that smells like that spells piece of shit wrestler than fucking with Santa. So that's what we were going to do. And then I came up with it. I'm like, fucking Fala. Fala can come out dressed up as Santa, but in his gear, like where it will be so blatantly obvious that it's not Santa, but he'll come out in the garb and fucking, you know, he'll have Santa's sack and all this other shit. It'll be Santa. And it worked. It not only did it work, it was my favorite segment to call. Like on commentary, you'll hear it once it gets uploaded. Like it was hilarious. And I said, I'm like, Fala does this no, no, no thing. I was like, why don't you say, like, what does Santa say? And he says, no, no, no. And you're like, you're so stupid. And he says, ho, 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 you know, and they go back and forth. And then fucking Fala breaks into song. Like, it was just one of those things where I'm very proud of myself for coming up with that shit. And it clicked. And I even said to Sean Donovan at the end of the night, I said, nothing makes me happier than me having an idea and it coming to fruition. It's almost as if like it was like a creative scene on a video game and it came out perfect. And I think Donovan is the credit because he's fucking awesome. And it's just great. Jeremy Thompson. First of all, Jeremy, I want to thank you for your support. You're also your sponsorships. And so anyway, comments, did 5 separate stage productions this year, not including stage reads. Also got casted in another production just yesterday, which opens in Philly in April, ! So he's very excited. I don't think I was at WrestlePro this entire year. As far as 2018, I wish the, well, then I talked to him. He goes, I wish the entirety of Monsters Island to reunite. No, just because there was only 2 members of Monsters Island that I could tolerate. And I forgot all about Dr. Ocula because I wasn't even around for that. But so 3 out of the 5 are decent people. The other 2 are just schmucks. So forget that. As for my question, out of all the interview shows, the Steak Pit, the Barbershop, the Brother Love Show, the Hillary, or the Peep Show, etc., what is your favorite? The first interaction I've ever had with wrestling, and I've said this multiple times, the Barbershop. Because that was my literally the first day I turned on the USA Network and saw Marty Jannetty get fucking thrown through the plate glass window. I knew wrestling was for me. But as far as the other ones, I'm digging the highlight reel because I love The Miz. I think The Miz is phenomenal on the mic. He's real. He's authentic. But they're all good. Like none of them ever really, I'm like, ugh, this again. You know what I mean? Like all these segments are given to the people that I know can bring it. You know what I mean? Bring it on the mic. Bring it on the storylines. Bring it everywhere. So that's that. Jamie Silverberg, you're a good guy. That's all I need. That's it. That's a comment. So Jamie is Jamie has definitely heard more from me this year than he has in the previous 4 years I've known the guy. 5 years I've known the guy. He's on a Voxer chat with me, him, Raleigh, and Brian Myers, Mr. Kurt Hawkins. And these guys have heard me bitch, whine, complain, and want to just jump off a cliff too many times. And I can't thank those four guys enough, you know, for multiple things. Raleigh talking me off a cliff and Jamie just filling in and just making sure that I'm okay and giving me the workout tips that I need. Jamie is looking phenomenal. I don't know if anybody knows who this guy is, but and I wouldn't say add him on Facebook because that's just not fair to him. I'm sure he doesn't want all you weirdos to fucking add him. But Jamie gave me a whole new tip, and we're calling it the Silva system, a.k.a. the Mikey from the Spirit Squad system, a.k.a. the Dolph Ziggler system. So it's been passed down from generation to generation, and now Silva has passed it to me. So we renamed it the Silva system. I'm not even going to give it to you guys because it's so goddamn good, and I've only done four of them so far out of, I would say, well, four of the last four workouts have been the Silva system, and I feel like a monster after the gym. I feel like I'm swole up. I feel like I'm more defined and just sweating more and just feeling good about myself. So thank you, Jamie. Franklin Myers, my question is, what was your highlight of the year, either personally or professionally? Easy for me, buying a house with my wife was one of the coolest things I've ever done. Professionally, obviously, what just happened, what just transpired on Saturday in Rawway was definitely my most proudest moment of myself. And hopefully that's just, you know, me scratching the surface. My 2017 was probably my best year for me. My favorite match was actually the one I think you called. It was Cody Rhodes versus Joey Janela. What I want to see in 2018 is the Eagles to finally win a Super Bowl. Get the fuck out of here. Stop that nonsense. My NFL playoff predictions will be the Steelers winning the AFC and the Eagles winning the NFC. First of all, Steelers, not so far-fetched. They look fantastic. Well, the Wentz wagon lost the wheel, so you will not be seeing Nick Foles, a.k.a. Napoleon Dynamite, lead the Eagles to a championship. Sorry, not going to happen. I don't want to hear it. And I don't want to hear if they win the next two games or three games and finish off strong. I don't want to be like, we told you. Like, no, this team is built around Carson Wentz and his ability to throw the football, make plays on the run, and just be a leader. He is a good quarterback. I'm not going to be the one to say, like, he sucks, he's no good. Like, I'm a realist. You've listened to all my podcasts. I'm a very realist guy. The Cowboys, right now as it stands, going into this week, with 3 weeks left to play in the regular season, they need to win three games. They need Detroit or Green Bay to lose one game, which would give them their seventh loss. And then they need the Falcons or the Panthers to lose two of three. They have officially a 4% chance to make the playoffs. So I told my dad that, and he's like, so you're saying there's a chance, you know, like Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber. But yes, there is a chance. This podcast has gone on very, very long, and I hope you stuck with it, and I hope you enjoy the interviews. I don't know if there's going to be another episode of Destruction 101. I'm pretty sure there is because I think I'm going to get sound from my party. As silly as that sounds, I think I'm going to try to do that and throw something together where it's going to be like just mashup of just drunk morons. But as the WrestlePro year comes to an end, there will be the Wawa Awards. That's the We Are WrestlePro Awards. Awards dinner and ceremony, and it's going to be awesome. It's December 22nd. It's a Friday night in Union. Tickets will be actually on sale to the public to see if you guys want to go. I know a couple of the diehard fans were there last year to see everybody do it. I had to split the hosting opportunity with David Adams last year. Yeah, that's not happening this year. I'll be hosting that motherfucker. And hopefully Santa will be there. Karaoke like last time. Unlimited amount of drinks and beers and good times. There's a secret Santa between the boys who I just got. I was texted by Rin, who, by the way, very proud of you, Corinne. I gave her a lot of shit. Corinne Mink, she's obviously one of the trainees at the Creative Pro New Jersey School, just had her first singles match in Rawway with her new character, Corinne Mink, and I think it went off very well. I think Kristen Statlander is probably the best student that's come out of either of the two schools, so to see those two girls go at it and get the crowd riled up was something very special, and I'm very proud of her. So she texted me, and she said, here's your Secret Santa person. I was like, oh, sweet, even better. So I'll have to buy a gift for that. But yeah, I mean, Kevin Garifo will be doing comedy. He's a very funny cat, as much as, you know, I fuck with him just as much as anybody else. He's a funny dude. He's actually one of the four hosts of the Shining Wizards podcast. So go follow him on all his social media platforms as well. This podcast wouldn't be able to run if it wasn't for the Shining Wizards Network, if it wasn't for B Plus Player Radio and all the outlets. Go say hello to those guys. Go give my buddies a follow over at the High Spot Podcast. You can find them on all the platforms. Drink with Gino, Genuine Article with Sean Donovan. Obviously, first and foremost, the Pat Buck Wrestle Pro Show. You can find that on all sorts of platforms, and his guests keep getting better and better every single week. Thank you guys for hanging with me for this long. I know it's usually I give you 50 minutes, but this was definitely longer because of the interviews and me just ranting and giving myself a little pat on the batski for 2017. Go make sure you guys follow me. My Twitter's growing a little bit here and there, at Dave Sturch. Go follow me there. I'm going to start cleaning my act up on that as well, not complain as much because you never know who's watching. And Instagram at Dave Sturch, that's D-A-V-E, the name Dave, Sturch, S-T-U-R-C-H, at Dave Sturch. Go follow that. And I want to thank you guys for just listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing, all that good shit. You guys are the reason why I've been doing this for now 41 mother effing episodes. If I don't talk to you guys, which I think I will, at the very least, I'll have Christmas break to do an episode. So if I don't talk to you guys, have a very merry, merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. I'm not one of those happy holidays, you know, because that's bullshit. I celebrate Christmas. I will wish you a merry motherfucking Christmas. I hope you get every single thing you ask for. I know it's not all about the gifts. It's about the family, about family time. Enjoy your time with your family. Those are the people that are going to be with you till the day you take your last breath. There's like a lot of flakes out there. Don't always trust everybody with everything you got, because I'm telling you right now, you keep putting your trust in other people that you don't know, it's only going to burn you. It is only going to burn you. So I promise you right now that if you just stick with a good family and a good core of friends, you're going to be all right. So with that being said, like I said, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and I will see you guys and talk to you guys before the new year. Be sure to check out all the podcasts that I listed today. And yeah, we will see you guys soon. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.